Good morning. Sorry for the delay. We had a little one that was getting close to being sleepy. I think I've got a problem with my computer, but we'll try to get by with it. It doesn't even want to advance the slides right now, but we'll get on without it. Very thankful again for everyone's attendance this morning. Look out, and I know I mentioned this morning already, but being able to look out and seeing those who are here that even though that they've got health difficulties, that they still are making effort to be here. There are some that we know about, then there are some others you may be going through things that we're not aware of. But just when I see you especially, you are such an example for rather than taking advantage of an opportunity that you could make an excuse not to be here, rather you make an opportunity to be here instead. And that is such a wonderful blessing to have and an example to follow. And I often pray that hopefully one day if I was facing the same situation that rather than taking an excuse of, well, I'll just stay home because I don't feel good, that I will also be able to be here at all costs, knowing that is far more important, and that is where I have put my faith. So thank you again for your examples that you set, for the examples of the elders set, and the many other members that you may not think that you are making an influence, but you are always an example in your life, whether you are young or old, whether you are a child or an adult. We should always be an example to those around us by the way that we live. And so this morning, thank you, Keith, and thank you to Dustin. I got the duty roster put out, and then he had them all printed out this morning. I kind of rushed on Wednesday due to work and stuff, and I got them dropped off. And so thank you for him for stepping up and taking care of that for me and realizing that was a need. That was appreciated. Thank you to the elders for asking me to preach this morning and this evening, and with Joseph being out. I know that oftentimes they hate to ask me to put something else on me, but I see it as an opportunity to grow, and I also see it as an opportunity to serve. They really should be apologizing to my wife for that, for the extra work that I put on her with the three kids. I've said it many times, she's got the harder job usually sitting with you, and those of you who are mothers of small children and many children understand that same problem. Thank you for all the work that she does and the many of you do as well that have kids. And I know it's not easy. This morning, I'd like to talk on an issue. This morning in Bible class, we talked about marriage and the problems that we have facing us. And especially as we look around the world and the influences that we have in the world around us. Oftentimes, and this is really the biggest danger, is not the fact that we're going to drastically make a huge change, but it's that constant influence of the world around us. We talk about it all the time, and oftentimes we ignore the facts that are around us. And it's not just these particular topics, but there are so many different things that go on. Just bad attitudes. We talked a little bit about, or at least mentioned about TV shows that portray the home life in a completely upside-down view of what the Bible teaches us. It makes fun of the pattern that God has set for us. And that's the same thing with many TV shows and movies. They portray anger and violence as something that is to be honored and revered and something that we should strive for rather than the love that we should have. And it's just everything that we see around us. We see people in the world that get promotions for cheating and for stepping on other people. And those who are trying to help one another and be team players oftentimes see others pass them up, and it's discouraging. But that is not what we should be modeling ourselves after. And so like a lot of things, this progression is slow. It is not going to be a massive change, but that constant inundation of the world causes us to be led astray. And likewise, this morning, for the lesson, I'd like to talk about God's view of modesty. I don't think we've had a lesson on modesty in quite a while, so I thought it would be a good one to look back on. It's one, again, that often gets overlooked because we often don't see things happening, and oftentimes we get lulled into a sense of things that we don't always bother to think about the consequences or think about the actions behind it. So we may, our dress may change, our attire may change, but we stop thinking about why we dress a certain way. Again, that could be said of anything that we do in the Lord's body, whether it be Lord's Supper, whether it be prayers, whatever it is, we can get into a sense of just kind of doing it out of repetition rather than really thinking about the reasoning behind it. And again, I mentioned this on the Wednesday invitation of the day, that there is an attitude of the world that it's someone else's fault. It's not our fault that we shouldn't have to change our lives for someone else. And that's the completely wrong attitude that we see in the Bible, where it says that we ought to be looking to our brethren and we should be thinking, well, if this is going to be harmful to them, I'm not going to do it. And having that view of love. So what do we know about modesty in the Bible? Well, first off, God wants our clothing to be modest. We can see that in many cases. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 10, we read, knowing this, actually, let's see, 2, verse 9, 10, in the like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which professes women, but becoming women professing godliness with good works. And now a lot of times we use this passage to say that we should dress modestly, which we try to say is not immodest, which oftentimes we think of too little clothing, but in this passage it really speaks more to too much clothing, trying to, maybe not too much, but too much focus on clothing. And we see those people who get ready to go out. Oftentimes you see the formal gowns or dresses or whatever they are, and then you're making up your hair fancy and all these other things, and men are guilty of it too, putting on their best clothes, putting on all their nice cologne, and really focusing on what they look like on the outside with gold and jewels and whatever else to get attention. It looks like a peacock or some other. God created many birds and animals in this world for the males to be attractive and have many colors, and that kind of looks like some men sometimes and some women looking to get up and show off, and that's not the attitude that we should be having. So rather than focusing on the outward appearance, we are told that we should be focused on inward appearance. And so whether it's too little clothing or too much clothing, we need to understand that what it all boils down to is inside, and if our hearts are right, then that should be reflected on the outside. As was read, 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaited, braided hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." It's easy to come together to worship and want to look nice. We should be giving God our best, but that is not what we should be following. Yes, there are times when we want to dress up and look nice for something that we see as important, but also it's sad seeing that many people will dress nice for weddings, for funerals, for maybe a nice night out on the town, but yet when it comes to the service, they're wearing t-shirts and other things. Now, it's not saying that you have to. I know that there may be some that don't have the money to spend on expensive things, and that's not the point, but the point is, when we have an attitude that there are things in the world that are far more important than when we come to God, what is your attitude towards God? If you dress differently in other places, but then you dress down to come to services, again, it's not necessarily focused on what you're wearing in particular, but that aspect of one versus the other, and we want to make sure that we look nice for man, but not to God. So again, it is our on the inside that does count, but that does oftentimes reflect on the outside and whether you're showing regard to God or you show more regard to men. Our dress should not reflect fragrant disobedience. The Bible teaches that. And so we can look in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10. And it says, "And behold, there he met a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." So there's clearly something about the way this woman was dressing that portrayed that of her being a harlot. And there may be other cases where in this world that we understand that there are certain ways that people would dress that you understand that that's inappropriate, that kind of goes along with a particular mindset or job that would be similar, that we realize that's not the way that we should be dressing. If the world recognizes that that's how these people dress, this particular person, in this case, the world understood that this was the attire of a harlot, then would we follow that same mindset and wear something that some people, you could twist it everywhere, and that whatever they disagree with, they would say that that's the attire of a harlot. But in this case, the world understood that this is the way that someone who is immoral dresses, and so if we are dressing in a similar manner, what are we showing? And it should cause us to blush if we are revealing. Oftentimes, if we wear too much clothing, even though the Bible tells us that we should not be focused on the outward, we generally are not going, that's going to be a little bit harder sometimes to notice, but we've talked about it. I know Jesse preached on it many times, and many other preachers have preached about it, but this world has lost its ability to blush. And we as Christians are getting caught up in the same thing because of what we see on TV, what we talk about, what we joke about. Because we are modeling everything that we see and hear around us, when we see someone that dresses immodestly, when we see nakedness, when we hear curse words, when we hear God's name said in vain, when we hear dirty jokes, we laugh instead of cringing and being ashamed for what we're being a part of. And here in Jeremiah 6:15 it says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those that fall at the time that I visit them. They will be cast down, says the Lord." The Lord says in this case, because they have not learned to blush, but rather they have participated and had no problem with it, they will fall. The same thing is for us. We can see in the Bible, it tells us that we'll be taking a judgment for the things that we do. If we are no longer blushing, then that's going to cause our conscience to be seared, and then we're going to continue to participate in these things with no problem, and not just simply tolerating that, we'll be promoting that. And we see that in many places. True Christians should not try and see how much, really should just say Christians, those who are trying to follow Christ, trying to follow the Bible, we should not see how much we can show and still be modest. Sometimes this is the line, well, where is the line? And we want to talk about, well, is this the line or is that the line? If it was far less about where the line is and how close, okay, is that the line? Okay, I'm going to wear that. And just try to see as close as you can get to that line, whether it be from the top or from the bottom, if it were less about where is that line and how close can I get to it, whether it be modesty or anything, if we're trying to see, okay, well, what really is a lie, if we're asking that question, we're really wanting to get away with it, just not have the consequences of it. Would you say, well, how close can I get to murder? How close can I get to fornication or adultery? If we stopped thinking about how close we can get to something and rather be thinking about is what I'm wearing, is what I'm saying, is what I'm doing, is what I'm watching, is what I'm promoting on the internet, is that beneficial to others? Is that going to cause them to be thinking about wholesome things or not? There'd be less of a problem. And so this includes work. Clothing that has words that attract attention to specific areas of the body. I know that may be a little bit small to see in the back, but oftentimes we see the world and the clothes that they wear, not only are they tight, they're low, they're high, they show too much skin in the middle, but they start putting words so that there are certain things that we know that women are attracted to, that men are attracted to, that we want them to look at it and bring it to the forefront. And that's not appropriate. So we need to be careful there. Sometimes things happen and you can't stop someone's mind from what they may be thinking, but is what you're wearing purposely attracting that? And are you purposely choosing those things because you know good and well that that's what it's going to do? God is not always satisfied with man's choices, and so if we look at the screen, we see, especially as it comes to dress, so in man's choice in Genesis chapter 3, let's look at it. We actually should know the story pretty well, but just for the sake of looking at it, and we want to make sure that we represent the scripture as it should. But Genesis 3 and verse 7 and verse 10, so we see that If we remember the story, the Satan came and tempted Eve, and she ate the apple, and then she gave it to Adam, and he ate. And it says in verse 7, "And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So they made these, what they called aprons, or they used fig leaves, and they made what is also maybe interpreted as loin coverings. And we oftentimes see movies where they have loin coverings. We know that they usually depicted Native Americans having loin coverings. So that's, we understand what that is. In verse 10 as well, it says, "And when God came, Adam said to him, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself.'" So here, Adam knew he was naked and hid himself. Was actually, if you think about this, he put clothes on, or he tried to, and he still felt ashamed. Maybe he felt ashamed because he sinned, but here it says that I was naked. He didn't say, "I have clothes on now." He still felt ashamed in that state. Sometimes I wonder if we, would we go to God in this attire and say, "Hey, we're," and we wouldn't talk that loosely to God, but just, "Here I am." No shame. Many of the world wouldn't feel ashamed. They could be in next to nothing and not be ashamed of it at all. We oftentimes use the phrase, "Well, what would Jesus do?" Or maybe, "What would you do if God were here or Jesus were here? You know, would you stop watching that movie that you're watching? Would you stop talking the way you're talking? Would you go grab a coat and put it on, or a blanket to cover yourself up?" If you would, that tells you that you're not dressed, or you're not watching something you should be watching. If you would be ashamed if God saw you or Christ saw you, it's probably not appropriate. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, after God speaks to them, it says, "And Adam also unto his wife, the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them." Whatever they made for themselves, loin coverings, he made them a tunic. He covered them up so that they would be appropriately attired. And a tunic, in most definitions, was something that was worn next to the skin. It wasn't something really, really loose and baggy that would hang off and you could still see through it. We understand, you know, it'd be something that would be tighter, not so tight, but something you may think of. Usually a woman's dress maybe would be something that would be closer to the skin than something that was just so loose that you could see everything through, like sometimes you see with athletes, that really doesn't cover when they're moving around. Generally, it had sleeves. It was to the knees. It could go past the knees, but it usually did not go all the way down to the ankle, so it wasn't necessarily down to the feet. But it could be, but in most cases, it wasn't. I mean, so that's what God chose to clothe them with. And that goes back, for those who have studied, who know more about the language than I do, this is what they have gone back and studied and understand tunic to represent. We do see similar things in the Bible that do correspond with that, and we will look at that as well. We can look at Joseph's coat. And so he had a coat of many colors that was made. We can also look at priestly garments in Exodus 28 that were also made as well to show that as well. But in the Bible, all forms of nakedness is condemned. So we oftentimes, if you think, well, they're naked, you think of a kid running around without clothes on. And those of you who are kids know that happens too often, but they don't quite understand what they're doing. They don't understand, or maybe they do, but they don't have that same sense of shame that we understand as we grow up that we should, and we also need to teach them that we ought not to do that as they grow older. But as a baby, they don't understand that. We know that complete nakedness is condemned, and we see that, as we just read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says, now verse 25, it says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." Well, why were they not ashamed? Well, they had the mind of a child at that point. Innocence. They had the innocence of a child. God had not given them the ability to understand right from wrong and made them innocent at this point. When they ate of the tree of knowledge, then they understood that this was not appropriate and sin entered the world. But at this time, they were not. But when they understood, we just read in Genesis chapter 3 how they understood that that was wrong and what they were, that they were naked, as in verse 3 and verse 7. But we can also understand that partial nakedness is condemned as well. We just read Genesis 3:10. Adam says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He had made clothes for himself. He had put something on to cover up at least part of himself, but it wasn't enough. He was still naked. In Job chapter 22 and verse 6, it also reflects the fact that partial nakedness is not appropriate. But oftentimes we want to twist that, well, nakedness is no clothes, and so you just don't have as many clothes on. We want to twist that so it doesn't sound as bad. But God treats that as if it were still naked. And Job 22, didn't quite go far enough. Job chapter 22, verses 6 says, "For you have taken a pledge from your brother for naught and stripped the naked of their clothing." So here, in order to, they took clothing away from somebody, but who did he take the clothing from? He stripped the naked of their clothing. They had something on. They had some kind of clothing on, and yet they did not have enough. And so maybe you may think about this as maybe someone who's homeless, doesn't have enough clothing, or those who are poor that just don't have, the clothes are all worn out and tattered. They're not really clothed. So if you take what they, even the last thing they have, that's not good. But in this case, it still reflects that as even having some amount of clothing, if it's not enough, it's still considered naked, as we can see in this passage. In John chapter 21, we can also see this in the New Testament. God's view on modesty has not changed, even though we're under a new covenant. He still views nakedness in the same light. In John chapter 21, verse 7, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" So they were in the boat, and Christ approaches them. He comes to them, and so when Peter hears it is Christ, he put on his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. So he goes and catches Peter, jumps into the sea to go see Christ. But what does he do first? He throws his coat on. It was oftentimes they would take their outer coat off so that they could fish and do their things. For whatever reason, maybe it was not getting it dirty because of all the stuff they were working with, more and more movement, whatever it may be. That was a habit of theirs. And here, but he realized that when this was Christ again, if Christ came to us, would we be pulling our clothes higher, pulling our clothes down, pulling them up, realizing that we're showing too much and Christ wouldn't approve? Here, Peter realized that something that was acceptable to the world and standard was not acceptable to Christ, and so he covered himself up. Nakedness, sorry for not advancing that. So partial nakedness, again, inadequate apparel, not having enough on, is sinful. It is not approved by God. Nakedness should carry a sense of shame. We saw in Adam, in Genesis chapter 3, 8 through 10, that they realized they were naked. So they made clothes, and then they were still afraid. They were still ashamed to reveal themselves to God because of that. And so, again, do we have that same shame? Do we come to the assembly in clothes that are not appropriate, and yet we're not ashamed? Or do you ever see anyone out in public and realize that you see your brother or sister in Christ, and or maybe you're a kid that your mom or dad shows up and you're kind of trying to pull your clothes back on because you realize that they wouldn't approve what you're doing? We should be ashamed. But again, we're losing our sense of shame. But here in the Bible, we see the examples that this did carry shame. It should carry shame. But oftentimes, we again get too lulled into wearing what the world wears and using the excuse that that's all we can find in the store, so it's okay. But that's not what God teaches. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, "And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunk. He was uncovered within his tent, so he drank some wine. It seems like perhaps he became intoxicated, and so he was unclothed." When you become intoxicated, you're not thinking in your right mind. So here, something that he might not normally have done, he revealed himself too much. And so we see that Ham saw the nakedness, and he went and told his brothers. Rather than doing something about it, he was almost kind of like gossiping, went and told everyone else about it. So the other two brothers took a garment, and they walked backwards. They tried to have some respect. They covered their father up. And we see that whenever, verse 24, it says they did not, in verse 23, see their father's nakedness, so they made an effort not to. And Noah awoke from his wine, and And when he knew what his younger son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants you will be, but blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And so we see that he was ashamed for what Ham had done, even though Ham apparently had not been ashamed and was willing to look on someone else's nakedness. So again, when we are in places and we're looking on the nakedness around us with no shame, the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, the billboards we see, a lot of that we can't get away from, but do we look upon, do we dwell on it? Do we look, go out to the beaches and, well, I mean, everyone, you can't stop what they're wearing, so we're going to look anyways. There's all sorts of stuff around us. Do we look at it with no shame, like Ham did, or do we realize that this is not something that is appropriate and turn our heads like Shem and Japheth did? We can read of in Babylon, in Isaiah chapter 47. We're not going to go there, but in this case, there are many places in the Bible where it talks about cutting off the clothes and shame that was revealed because of it. There was shame that should be portrayed by that. One reason I think the Bible teaches us that they took, or history also teaches us that they took the clothes off of Christ when he was crucified, was to be shamed. That was a shameful thing, and they wanted to make sure that everyone knew and tried to enforce on everyone's mind that was shameful and that Christ was shameful, and tried to make them stop following Christ because of it. But it's something that even the world understood was shameful. You look at these nations when they sent back servants, they tore their clothes off, they cut them off at the bottom to reveal their buttocks, and they sent them back so that everyone else would see their shame. The world knew that it was shameful. Again, do we realize as Christians that this is shameful? In Ezekiel chapter 16, so we'll look at this one, Ezekiel 16, 35 through 39. "Therefore, the harlot, hear the word of the Lord. You said to the Lord God, because your filthiness was poured out and your nakedness discovered through your whoredoms with your lovers and with your idols of the abominations and by the blood of your children, which you gave to them, behold, therefore I will gather all your lovers in whom you have taken pleasure and all those who you have loved, with all those who you have hated, I will gather them round about against you and will discover your nakedness to them, that they may see all your nakedness. And I will judge you as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give you blood in fury and jealousy, and I will also give to you their hand, and they shall throw down your eminent place and shall break down your high places. They will strip you also of your clothes and will take your fair jewels, and they will leave you naked and bare." This seems very strange in a way for someone who's a harlot, who's doing abominable deeds, to say that they're going to strip them of their clothes, because it would seem like they wouldn't care about that. But it was still shameful, and it was still at a time when, and there were maybe some that did not see it as shameful. Maybe there's some that were callous at that point as well. But here the Bible tells us that was shameful, but we don't have that same shame anymore. What the world does, we now consider just to be par for the course, and that's just what we do. Even Christians like to say that do as the Romans do, or society changes, and so clothing styles have changed, and I understand that to a point. We don't wear long tunics anymore, but that doesn't, you can't carry that out to the fact that says, well, now no one wears clothes anymore, so that's the standard. That's gone too far. And again, if we're going that far, we have already abandoned the Bible when we make those comments. What must be covered? Well, the Bible teaches us, gives us some examples to look at. And so if we look at the Bible, we need to understand, if we're told to cover ourselves, and if we're told that nakedness is shameful, then we sure hope that God tells us what we should cover so that we can make sure that is appropriately covered. And it tells us. God has, when God made the choice to clothe Adam and Eve in the garden after they tried to clothe themselves, we see the example. In that example, it reached from the shoulders to the knees, and even had sleeves. And so here, Scripture revealed that modest apparel, and we'll look at some of these cases. I know we won't have time probably to go through all of it, so we'll try to hit on some of these so that we can see the point behind it. But it tells us completely cover the thighs. Some people want to draw a line of where does the thigh start in. Go ask a biologist or someone who studies anatomy and physiology. They'll tell you where the thigh stops. We like to try to change that, but the Bible is clear on that, and our bodies are clear on that as well. You can't have half a thigh and still call it a thigh. So our hips, our waist, and our breast are all things that we should be considering to cover. And oftentimes in the world, we see that only a particular part gets covered, but we need to be thinking beyond that as Christians. There are some things that we may wear as clothes that when you're moving around, when you're bending over, when you're moving your arms all around, when you're flipping over in the air, doing something, that things get uncovered. Be mindful of what you're doing. Just like we should be mindful of what we say, we should be careful what we wear, lest we cause someone to stumble. In Exodus chapter 28, again, I mean, some people will say that, well, that was the Old Testament time. God's view on modesty has not changed. He wants us to be covered. He wants us to have appropriate attire. And that has not changed just because we are under a new covenant. And we see examples talking about modesty as well. And also the mindset behind modesty, that really should almost be enough in and of itself, understanding why you don't do something. So Exodus chapter 28. It says, and for Aaron's sons you will make coats, and you shall make them girdles and bonnets, and you shall make for them for glory and for beauty, and you shall put upon Aaron and your brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them. So all these things you should make. But it says in verse 42, and you shall make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins to their thighs they will reach. So from the waist to the thighs they will cover. Well, why? Why does that need to be covered? It says, and they shall be upon Aaron and his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near to the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die, and it shall be a statute forever to him and his seed after him. So as these priests were going in the activities that they had to participate in, even though they wore long tunics, we understand that there are times women wear dresses. Well, if they were to send up a ladder and people were underneath them, then they could see everything. And I mean to be vulgar in any way, but we understand that even though they may be on the ground at this point, due to something they may do, things will be uncovered. And this is what God is pointing out. Even though that they wore long garments, when they go to ascend to the altar, they would be revealing too much. And so he takes precautions and tells them, make sure that you're covered so in that situation you don't become uncovered. And additionally, the altar was not to have steps so that would prevent exposure when climbing up the sacrifice. God had already thought about that. He understood that what would happen because they wore tunics, because of the attire, to be careful. He didn't. This goes even beyond simply, well, change your clothes. He provided for that as well, but it was also the mindset of be careful what you're doing in the first place. So do we, when we know that there may be a situation, do we think, well, I better not do that? If it's your daughter and she's doing cartwheels and not wearing something underneath her dress, do you tell them you need to be careful? Or do you say, well, whatever, they're just a kid, and even when they're a teenager, they're doing the same thing, and well, they're modest when they're standing up. Is that really appropriate? Is that how we want others to be looking at our children? And is that the model that we should be setting for them as they grow up? That God's view, trying to teach them that God's view on modesty, that we can just twist it to whatever we want instead. Babylon was also likened to women whose nakedness, in this case specifically their thighs, were exposed. And so let's look at that real quick. Some of these passages, they mention, well, their nakedness was exposed. Well, maybe that was entire nakedness, complete nakedness. But in this case, in Isaiah chapter 47, it's not just that, and in this case it specifically points out in verses 1 through 3, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you will come no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind mill, uncover your locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thighs, pass over the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered, yes, your shame shall be seen, and I will take vengeance, and I will not meet you as a man. Again, nakedness was shameful. We've lost that. We no longer talk about, oh, well, they're naked, that's shameful. Sometimes it's just a passing thought, well, they don't have enough clothes on. But we're not ashamed of it. Our children, when they understand what's right and wrong, they realize, hey, that person's not dressed, I don't want to look at them. And they'll run away the other direction, they'll almost run into a wall because I got to get away from that. And then we're like, hey, look, they're not dressed, and then we talk to them. Are we staying next to them? Is that appropriate? Because we are approving of that. Well, we see that God's standard might have been different than the heathens. The heathens, if you know about your history of some of the things that they did in their temples, they were all about immorality and immodesty and everything that went around that. But that's not what God's standard was. When God said that you come to worship me, it wasn't let's have harlots in the tabernacle. It was let's make sure that we're modest when we come together. And so God's standard is different than man's standards. We can read that modest apparel covers the hips and the waist. We're not going to go to this passage, but look at, if you look back on this, I encourage you to look at it later, but David's ambassadors, when he sent his ambassadors over, they cut off their clothing at the waist. The waist, their buttocks, their bottom half, it was exposed, and that was not appropriate. And it was at their hips and their waist. Oftentimes we may cover our thighs, but maybe we wear things that expose our middle. Maybe it's clothes that are shirts that are too short, pants that are too low, or the combination of the two to get even worse. So that intentionally that as we move around, that others will see our body and see our skin. And if you tell me that you're really not wearing it to be seen, I'm not sure that that's easy to be believed. You ask any. If you're not looking to cover up your body, but looking rather to make sure that you're wearing things that are tight or loose or short, you're looking for attention, and you're drawing attention not of godly people, but of ungodly people. Also, tight clothing may cover our hips and our waist, but even if it's tight, we still may be exposing them, and we often don't think about that. Leggings aren't very popular. Let's wear leggings and let's wear really, really tight clothes, but we're dressed. We're dressed from all the way down to our ankles, except that you can see everything underneath. And that's not appropriate either, to be causing others to lust, and we want to cast it on someone else. Well, that's your problem for thinking that way. But if we're not looking at after our brethren and trying to make sure that we are not going to be a stumbling block, we're sinning as well. And so, yes, it's on them, but it's also on us. I know we talk about women a lot, but oftentimes that's because men think differently than women a lot of times. But it also is hard because it's even harder sometimes for us men to think about those things. Because women, I think if they're wise enough, they understand that men see things visually more so, and that's more of a temptation. And God made it so that women would be attracted to men. And oftentimes that we as men, that when we're dressing, we don't think about that. And so we will wear those basketball shorts that are so loose that when we're falling around the ground that they can see our undergarments. Or, you know, in the world, it's generally acceptable that women have to wear swimsuits, but men only have to wear swim trunks so that they can bare their breasts, and we'll get to that in a second. But the world has two different standards and thinks that one is okay for one of us and not for the other. And that's not right either. And so I think that also warps our mindset to think that that's acceptable. That's generally acceptable from the world, so it throws our mindset off. And so it's hard sometimes for us men. We talk a lot about the women, but for us men, what the world allows is a little bit different, and so that makes us think that that's okay. And so sometimes we don't think about things. We wear shirts that have cut-off sleeves, and you can see all the way through, and we think that's okay because we have a shirt on. But you really don't. But we don't think about that. Generally, I think women sometimes try a little bit harder because they're hopefully thinking about it. But here, again, in Exodus 28:42, those garments covered from the waist to the thighs, so our lower half. Again, it was to the thigh. Again, people want to make a cutoff and say, well, where really is the thigh? Well, that's way above the knee. Well, that's not. If you look at your biology again, your thigh goes to your knee. And there are many that say, well, I'll cover my knee while I'm standing up. But yet when they sit down, depending on what that is, maybe it's really loose shorts, maybe it's a skirt, reveals a lot when they're sitting down, and it comes up quite a bit. So again, if we're trying to say, well, there's a line, I met the line right now, that's really the wrong thought, women and men. Because if we are trying to see, well, I met the line, we are not really thinking about, am I wearing something that's going to be appropriate, we're thinking about only satisfying our desire to wear what we want to wear with no consequences. Modest apparel covers the breast. Proverbs 5, I'm not going to read this passage, but go back and read it. It says that that particular part of the body should be for the husband. There are many things that are part of a marriage relationship and not outside of marriage. And by revealing too much yourself, you have just given that away to everyone else before you give it to your spouse. So if you're looking to get married someday, do you want everyone else around you to see that before your spouse does? And if you go and buy a car off a car lot, do you want everyone, sometimes the commercials have made this funny about someone going and licking the car to try to claim it. Well, would you really want to buy a car that 500 people have gone and licked? You'd be like, no, I don't want that car. Well, what if you had someone who revealed themselves to everyone else? Do you see that the same way? That they have flaunted themselves out to everyone? This is something that should be for marriage, and by exposing ourselves, men or women, we're not treating our spouse the way that we should, our future spouse. And if we're still dressing that way after we're married, we're giving away a lot of stuff to everyone else who's not our spouse and should not be seeing that. There are many things that we may wear that accentuate our upper body that really we shouldn't be doing. Again, shirts that have no sleeves or no shirts. A lot of times men, again, they think, well, I'm just with the guys, so that's okay. Well, are you really just with the guys, first off? Oftentimes they're not. But wearing cut-off sleeves and for these workouts where they really are not clothed, because once you move around anywhere, if you're not sitting still, you're exposing a lot of your skin. Again, I think a lot of times we get, the world says that that's okay, that a general attire for going out to the beach is not something that's not something we should follow. But for men, it's you only have to cover the bottom half. For women, you got to cover top and bottom. When that became the standard, I don't really know. But except again, look back on what we've been talking about. Even the world realizes that men are a little bit more attractive and see things, and that so women probably ought to cover up a little bit more than the men, so that they understand that relationship as well. Again, not that their standard is correct, but when we are wearing clothes that move around and reveal too much, that's not appropriate. We ought to be more considerate of that. See-through clothing, it's, and the world has become a standard because they want everyone to see what's going on. But there are people that wear shirts that you can see right through, and it should be shameful. But I think sometimes we see it on the news, and we see especially celebrities and then everyone else doing it, and it just becomes standard, and we're okay with it. And I don't know why we've let that become okay. Low-cut clothes, sleeveless clothes with large armholes, strapless clothes, things that reveal too much skin. If we can't stop and think, is this going to cause my brother, whether it's our brother or our sister, to sin, we're not thinking about this. Again, our bodies are reserved for our spouses. When we are showing our body to everyone else, we're giving that away. Immodest clothing is wrong for the same reason that dancing and pornography is wrong. They're lascivious. They cause us to think about things that we shouldn't. And women, it's not just saying that it's more important for you, but if there's one thing that you can do for your future spouse, the one thing that you can do for all the Christian men is to dress modestly. Because if there is a more of a temptation, and even the world tells you that men are more visual, if you care about your brother in Christ, if you care about all those that you come in contact with and want to convert them, think about that. By wearing immodest clothing, you're causing them to be lust after you. And if you say, well, that's their fault, they did it. That is true. They're going to be accountable for their actions. But if we are causing our brother to stumble, whether it's this or whether it's anything else, any of our attitudes, any of our actions, if we cause someone to stumble, we will be held accountable for that. We're not in the clear. I think we want to take this one thing because we want to do what we want to do, and it's a little bit more something that we can see. We can't necessarily always see our anger when it's not correct, or our words when they're not correct, but this is something we can. And so I think that's one reason why it's a little more upfront sometimes in that regard. But sexual desires are given by God. So God made that. It's something special that God designed, and we should be thankful for that. He designed it so that whenever we get married, look back on Genesis. When he made the man, he made a helpmeet. That's a very touching passage, realizing that he knew that man needed something. I'm very touched by it, the fact that God realized that I, as a man, need somebody special and designed women, and I have a helpmeet, and I truly love her with all my heart and very thankful for her. God set that in motion so that we would have something that we can enjoy and have that, but that is meant to be in marriage. In Hebrews 13:4, turn to that and we'll look at it. This is something, again, we see in the world that there's so much in news that is immodest and immoral. And it's also sad, and maybe a tangent, but we see so many movies, they're rated R because of violence. Rated R, somebody slaps somebody else. But then they're rated PG, and there's blatant nakedness and sexuality in the movie. But that's okay. And the world tells us that that's okay, but don't hit somebody. Completely different standard. I'm not saying that violence is correct, that we shouldn't be careful about what our kids watch when it's in regards to violence, but I've seen movies where they are rated R for nothing but violence, and movies rated for children that are completely immoral and filthy jokes. Maybe they don't get them, but what if they repeat them? That's not something that I want my children to watch. But here we see that the world treats us completely different, but Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. God designed that for a purpose, and it's honorable. The marriage bed is undefiled. He designed marriage to be the place that you can fulfill those desires, not in the world, not before marriage. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So when we're looking and we're trying to show ourselves off to everyone else, we're not looking to be godly. We're not looking to go to heaven. We're looking to get an immediate gratification. Maybe we want people to think that we look nice. Well, we can look nice, and we can look beautiful or handsome without having to reveal our bodies. The world teaches us that that's what beauty is, exposing ourselves, not what God teaches us. Exposing our bodies in public is exposing something that belongs to one's spouse or their future spouse. It also is a way to stir up impure thoughts outside of the marriage relationship. Again, we may think that we're just simply trying to get attention and want people to notice that we're beautiful. You're stirring up impure thoughts. You're stirring it up in someone else. In the end, you're stirring it up in yourself. If you're purposely making an effort to dress that way to get attention, rather than dressing in a way like, what would God have me wear, and what would be godly, and what would be respectful? When we're thinking about what can I wear to attract attention, we're looking to stir up emotion, and we're creating thoughts in our own minds that are not right. Purity requires efforts, but all, again, it's not. Definitely the fact that men should be determined not to look lustfully at members of opposite sex. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully after a girl. Can we say that as well? I think a lot of us will say that, but our actions, do they also show the same thing? We may preach one thing, but are we living that same life as well? Lustful thoughts are just as sinful as adultery. Matthew tells us that that is where it starts. When we start lusting after someone, we've already committed adultery. We're just simply waiting for that opportunity. So when you back that up, what's causing that lusting? Is it impure thoughts? Is it immodest dress that's all leading up into it? We're starting a fire. We're kindling something up that we're going to pay the consequences for later. And again, not just women, but men as well. But again, the world recognizes that men are more visual. Look at the swimsuit standards. They're completely different. And there's a reason for that, because it's something that the world notices. If there's anything that you can do for your brethren, is to help them do what's right. It is on us as men to be careful of what we look at and what we think about. But if you're causing your brethren to be thinking impure things, you're not helping the situation. The same way, if we are watching things that are wrong, and we're telling everyone else how great that movie was when it's obviously not something that we should be watching, we're leading others astray. And this is simply one other aspect. If our language is not that of a Christian, we lead others astray. And they begin to think, well, that's okay to say. That's okay to act. And so this is just one other instance where it's not just in my stress. It's anything that we do, if it causes a stumbling block for others, we're at fault as well. In Romans 14 and verse 13, I believe we brought this up the other day. This is several different passages, but here it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I don't have the context there, but it does say in verse 12 that every one of us will give account of himself to God. In judging one another, that's not saying that we shouldn't judge. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's a whole lesson in of itself. But the fact of the matter is that when you're busy pointing out everyone else's faults, that's really not helping anything. Here it tells us in verse 12, let us give account. We're all going to give account to ourselves to God. We need to be paying attention to ourselves too. And so rather than looking at everyone else and saying, well, you're wrong for this and you're wrong for this, it's easy to point the finger. And then we don't even see it in ourselves. And so we need not, should not be so blinded by the fact that we shouldn't be considerate for one another. Think about our brethren. Think about what we're doing. Dress, our attire is simply one other case of that. Again, it's all of our actions, whatever we do in our life. And when we come together, the example that we set, if we're causing another stumble by our actions, we're going to be held accountable for that. And we'll be held accountable for our things. And Luke tells us that God will not delight with those who lead others to sin. Remember the parable that says that, or the lesson that Christ taught that says that it'd be better for a millstone to be hung about someone's neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea than to cause a little one to perish. That's striking, the fact that God would say that it'd be better for us to drown than to cause someone to stumble. Think about that for a moment. Dwell on that for a bit. That seems very harsh. But when we cause others to stumble, God does not see that lightly. We may do things accidentally. There may be things that we do that we don't realize it. But what do we do whenever we do? Do we make amends? Do we correct it? Or do we just keep on doing it? God desires all of us to be clothed in public. We should all be seeking to desire to do things that are pleasing to God. And this is, again, just simply one example. And one that the world tells us is completely different. And they're going so far the opposite direction. Less and less clothes is better in the eyes of the world. And there are so many of us that are Christians that are following that path down the road. So as the world gets worse, we kind of take a couple steps that direction. There are far too many who profess to be Christians who they want to see how short, how low, how tight, and how revealing they can wear their clothing. Again, it's not about how close to the line we can get. If we're trying to get close to that line, our mindset's entirely wrong. We're not thinking about, what can I do to make sure my brother isn't sinning? We're not thinking, what can I do that would be pure and reverent? We're just simply trying to get by so that we can do what we want. And you're odds are you're on the other side of the line. I'm sorry to say that, but if you're trying to say, well, is that the line? I'm doing that. A couple of years from now, you're going to be above that because you're already pushed that line that far, and you're just simply, most people who are thinking that, they're not looking for what's best for someone else. They're looking what's good enough where they can feel satisfied with what they did and not thinking any further past that. But that's, if we're more considerate about what we're covering, how it's covered, what we're doing, we would all be better off. Modest clothing should cover our thighs, our hips, our waist, our breasts, all situations, not just standing up, standing still, sitting down. Depending on what you're doing, if you're out playing sports, your body's moving a whole lot more. Be aware of that. And I think if we would think about that and be aware of, I'm about to go do this, again, accidents happen, things come up when we didn't realize we were going to do something, do you just say, well, whatever, and just do it anyways? Or do you either find someone else, if you're not dressed modestly, if you're going to climb up a ladder, do you say, well, someone else needs to do that? Or do you say, well, I'm going to do it anyways because no one else is going to do it? Think about what we're doing. Skirts and loose shorts may expose more when seated, so be aware of that. Again, it's not just girls. I've seen plenty of guys who wear loose pants and they're down to their knees and they sit down and you can see all the way up their thigh. It requires vigilance. This is not easy, brethren. This is not easy at all. And I don't mean to treat it as if it is. but we should be aware of what our clothing represents. One, the world should see us as different. If we're dressing like the world has gone off its rocker. And the world hasn't changed, honestly. There was immodesty and immorality in the Bible times, and so we're still seeing the same thing now. But if we're following the world and letting the world dictate our standards, that's not right. We need to be aware of how our clothing affects others, just like we need to be aware of how our speech affects others, how our actions affect others. All these things we should take in consideration because we should have that love for one another. And this is just one other aspect that often gets overlooked, but it's something that we need to pay attention to. The world, that's our language, what we watch, what we see, what we do, what we participate in, where we go. Probably said that, but all these things are things that we need to be paying attention to because if we follow the world, we're going to be falling astray. So let us think about what we are wearing, what we're saying, what we're doing, and being aware of the implications that it has on our brethren. I didn't talk about the gospel plan of salvation this morning, but hopefully, I think most of you here are at the point where you have probably have heard the word. And so if you do, we want to take an opportunity to offer the invitation to you. In fact, if you have a time that you want to make a change, now is the time to do it, not waiting. But if you've heard the Word of God and you do believe that the Word of God, but you've delayed, don't delay anymore. Do what's right, because God tells us that if we don't obey and if we're not baptized, that we will suffer eternal punishment in hell for it. Because we've all have sinned. And when we realize that, it's too late and we need to make a change in our life. So if you realize there's sin in your life, repent of those sins and be baptized so that you may be a part of the body of Christ and have and enjoy those blessings that we have in Christ and have that hope of heaven. Perhaps you are a Christian, but you've realized that you have fallen astray and have not done the way you should, not been living the way you should. Then we encourage you to make a change in your life, endeavor to do better, and make that promise to God to seek to serve Him and put Him first in all things. If there's any need that you may have this morning, in need that you have the saints, especially if you need to be baptized or repent, and make that publicly known that we may pray for you and with you. We encourage you to do so now as we stand and as we sing.